Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we are bringing on a new co-host virtually from the New York City, the land of many, many, many people, by the way, if you've ever been to New York City. And this gentleman I met last year, I've already got him on the YouTube feed. So again, for our newer listeners, we're now not just podcasting, we're also trying to bring more content to the YouTube world as well. So you guys can also actually watch us chatting. But this gentleman I met at the MapCon event south of Philadelphia last year, he literally crushed it on stage and rocked the mic. And I've been following him on social media since, and he's basically still doing that repeatedly. And this gentleman even actually had a recent adventure edition involving Rutger University. So I'm sure we're going to talk about this and what's going on with Rutgers and everything. He's got his mission going. So without further ado, this gentleman goes by the name Teo Roxon, his brand UID Management. And you can find him by his name or that business name. But hey, Teo, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, man. The pleasure is mine. And thank you for the kind words. You are the one rocking it.
Well, we're all rocking it. How about that? So
there you go.
And I love your brand. It's kind of funny. So we literally, to our listeners, guys, I was just bringing up his site. And he's got more than one site. He's got a site for his brand, his name, and he's got his business name, right? So, and the weirdest thing I've never seen before, and I'm actually going to go ahead and share this because Teo needs to see this, is I've never seen this happen to a website, but he's got some kind of, or at least Google Chrome feels that there's some kind of special font that he has on his site and Google can't find it, which is awesome because right now we can actually rip on Google because I thought Google knows everything. But apparently, Teo, your website is so awesome that, and let me bring it up here so you can see the little error, that I think you broke Google.
And it's so weird. I've got to figure out how to fix that. Because that, I would hate for that to happen with someone else.
All right, can you see that?
You're on Chrome, too. I'm on Chrome. Yeah, I'm on Chrome. It says the whole font was not found.
So what is that about?
I have no idea. I mean, so I'm on Chrome now and it works.
But you see, if you see in the background, you see all these question marks on the top left, on the top. It's like I can't find it. And I tried hitting update. I'll do it again. Anyway, this is just fun. I wanted to share it with you. And just for our listeners and our people watching on YouTube, because this is a shared screen, this is weird. I've never seen this happen before. So, and it looks like they're giving me an extension that I have to download and install. So you've never had to do this?
I've never had to do this. No.
Well, we're having a lot of fun today.
Hey, this is good for me to know.
Yeah.
This is a branding lesson.
Well, it's like, admittedly, I'm usually pretty up to date. I'm a heavy user of Google Chrome. So I'm surprised I don't have the latest fonts plugin that should be able to work with your site. So that's just very unusual for me. So anyway, let's catch our listeners up on who you are, man. All right. You've been talking a lot about diversity. So what's going on here, man? Where are you at here in 2017 now? What is this new push? Let me do my listeners a favor because they weren't there last year in Philadelphia. What was your main message then, and has it changed going into this year from the MapCon event?
So at the MapCon event, our mutual friend, good friend of ours, Joe Pardo, wanted me to sort of do a keynote, and he said, I just want you to talk about something. And the thing that came to mind for me was community building and podcasting, because the way I built my career was essentially out of my personal brand. A few years ago, I really took the first step to building my personal brand, and my whole goal was to influence the next set of global leaders. And for me to do that, I had to look deep within myself to figure out what it was about me that I felt I could offer the world. And it started from when I was born. You know, I was born a diplomatic kid. I'm a Nigerian, and I grew up in 5 countries and 4 continents. And for me, ever since I was a kid, community was always important to me, and connecting across cultures was always important to me. It was actually a necessity, because if you constantly move and you're in your formative periods, you have to figure out a way to make friends or join sports teams. And figuring out the best ways to work together was a skill that I started to develop at a young age.
And where was that at again?
Well, Nigeria, Sweden, Vietnam, Burkina Faso, and the United States.
So you moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And admittedly, there's a lot of kids out there to this day, even in this country, maybe they're military kids, or one friend actually called himself the military brat, whatever. But this is a great exercise to prove the fact that you have to develop social skills. You have to be networking. I'm a big, you and I both are very big out there in networking and connecting with people. And this is crucial. You have to just keep connecting, because you never know who you're going to meet next. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I mean, they call us diplomats. My dad is a diplomat. He's a military, your friend's a military brat. But the whole idea was, you know, that experience really honed in the importance of inclusion and diversity. So I've essentially been a walking contradiction since I was on Earth. And I wanted to make sure that I became a voice for the underrepresented and provided opportunities for people to see that the world is bigger than they are. So that's been my mission. And that's the extension of everything that I do. That's the true core. So, yeah.
And now, so from that presentation at the MapCon event, to fast forward to today, in the past, what, month or two was the TEDx event, right?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be invited to do two TEDx talks in a 3-week span. And, but it's funny, a lot of people have been looking at like the last few months, and I always tell people that it's a lot of work, because, you know, I started, you know, 5, 6, 7, I started since I was a kid, but started really being intentional about my brand about 5, 6 years ago. And it was never anything that I wanted to happen when I wanted to happen, right? So I always tell people that people overestimate what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
Wow. And
yeah, and for me, when I first started, I remember I was just in this job. I had just, you know, gotten out of college in 2011, and I had 85 plus rejections. You know, no one wanted to hire me. And I'm a foreigner in the country, so you have to find a visa to sponsor you. And so I was just like scrambling, and I just took the first job that gave me an offer after all these rejections. And I remember settling and saying to myself, you know, this isn't what I want to do, but fine, they gave me a visa, so I'll stay here. But those 2 years for me were ridiculously very draining, because they crushed my soul and my creativity. And I remember having to three incidents. One, I just woke up in cold sweats, like asking myself, is this what's going to happen for the next 60 years of my life? And then the other one was I took an impromptu trip to New York City to see my mentor and watch a basketball game. And I remember feeling alive. I was like, whoa, this is something I've been missing. I don't know what it is about this city or whatever, but there's an energy that I've been missing for the last 2 years. And then the third thing that happened was I was driving to that same place of work, and this car swerves into my lane, cuts into half. And then all of a sudden I'm spinning out of control on the highway while it's drizzling. And I hit one car, then two cars. And then I hit the left guardrail, right guardrail, and the third car. And then the car lifts up, and I'm 22 years old. And I'm saying to myself, the only thing I said to myself was, I haven't done anything else I was going to do, and you're about to die. So,
wow.
So that was my big wake-up call. And for me, I became super intentional about the brand. And I didn't know what I would be. I didn't know what my story would be, but I started documenting my story. So I created this website, tyroxin.com, and then I started just blogging. You know, initially it was just all the lessons I learned from my personal business life. So it could be about LeBron James one day, because LeBron's a favorite athlete, or it could be about anything I did. And I would just keep consistently writing. And then when I moved to New York City, I was like, I always wanted to get in the media, but the traditional media people aren't calling me, so I'm just going to create my own media platform. And I launched a podcast, and then it's been all she wrote since then.
And how old's the podcast again? That's
well, podcast is almost 3 years. It's two years and nine months. But you know, you were saying in the last month's been crazy, but I've had 85 job rejections. All the MBA programs I applied to said no, but two, and then the one I got into conditionally accepted me. The TEDx talks were after 2 years of trying and over 15 rejections. So I've been fired twice since I've been in New York City. I've been broke. So it's not like, you know, I always like to make sure people know that you have to put in the work. It's not like anything will come if you do that, but it's pushing through those hard times. You were saying something to me before we started. You said that if you're not stepping out of your comfort zone, you're not living life.
Challenges. So
yeah, your challenges. So those challenges were what actually shaped me. So, yeah.
Well, a part of those challenges it's funny because you hinted at, for somebody looking from the outside in and don't know enough about you and where you came from, or let's say just about the diplomatic world in general. Like, we joked around about the military brat versus the diplomatic brat or diplo brat, but it's like, one would think, oh, well, they grew up with a diplomatic family. They got to travel the world. So he's going to have a much better resume and he's going to look more impressive. He or she is going to look more impressive in that interview process. And what we just heard from you is that meant nothing. You still had to hustle the same amount as everybody else.
No, no, I did. And it's funny, people always make that assumption, but you know, a diplomat from Nigeria is very different from a diplomat from the rest of the world. So it wasn't, my dad was a very, very, I saw my dad work from, lower middle class to upper middle class to there. He worked his way up there. So and we, you know, in Nigeria, you get the same salary, very medium salary. It's not like you get this prestigious thing. And you, when you get posted out of the country, you get the diplomatic opportunity. Like, my dad will have diplomatic immunity and all that, but that never extended to us. You know, we still had to figure out how to pay the bills and all that. So it wasn't like we were, you know, in the movies when they showed diplomats in American setting sometimes or British setting, we weren't that level of that. There are different levels, but yeah, no, I still had to fight. And then my parents always instilled in us the value of hard work. It's a very Nigerian and quality too, because the few people that do get to go out of the country, you're basically seen as this symbol of, okay, you have to do us proud, and you're wearing a family name. It's not just you then. I'm the oldest of three boys. So the cultural landscape was like, okay, you better not disappoint. But no, I mean, that was definitely not. I didn't have any silver spoon.
Yeah. Well, so many people define silver spoon differently, but I think the one silver spoon that you're able to gain was life experience, you know, travel, learning that, just like you said, like, hey man, I'm just like everybody else. Okay. We're middle class to lower class or whatever. I don't know what class in Nigeria that would count as, but
yeah, it'll count. Yeah, yeah.
I don't like class words anyway, because technically I think I grew up almost middle class, but I was a farm boy. So I don't really know. Like, I worked on the farm. So, but we always had a roof over our head. My dad worked hard. You know, he was an entrepreneur. You know, we didn't have the nicest cars and all that materialistic crap, but you know, we had a farm and we had a great, great lifestyle. Now that years later, I look back. Yeah. So for you, what led to TEDx, man? Like, how did that, was that just coming from you going to TEDx events or did somebody get you connected with that? And then they said, man, I really want to see you speak here. Like, how did that one get connected up? Because I've been wanting to hear that.
So when you're defining your path, you know, I always say the things that are needed is you have to have a healthy sense of self-awareness, so you know your strengths and weaknesses. And then you also have to have the tenacity and patience to be consistent. Hmm. And so when I went down that path after that accident, I moved to New York City, I was getting my MBA and deciding to really be this influencer that helped people connect across cultures. I started from just telling my story, documenting, and interviewing people that I wanted to know more from and just basically giving them a platform. And throughout that experience, I started to pick up on some skills about cross-cultural communication, diversity and inclusion. And I would talk about all these things and all these things. And the interesting thing that happened as the podcast started to rise, 2016 was an interesting year in the world where there was Brexit, there was the whole election, regardless of where you fall. And then there were all the shootings that happened.
Baltimore.
Yeah, every year, everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and people kept asking me randomly, hey, could you come? I listened to your show. You talk about all these cross-cultural things. I'm struggling to have this discussion in my workplace, or I'm struggling to have this discussion here, or can you come talk to these kids? They're a little confused and you've had these experiences. And it's funny how life works, because I was just continuing just working on my thing. I didn't predict anything that would happen. And then people are like, okay, yeah, we need, I think it's time. We're in a scary time. We want you to come do that. So the TEDx people I've been applying to for the last 2 years must have picked up on that, because a lot of the themes were around unity and inclusion and all that. And I was just saying, hey, this is kind of what I've been doing, and this is who I am. I feel like I have some value to your team. Send them a bio, send them my website, and say, do you think this is something that will resonate with your audience? And two of them said yes, and that was it. And it's, you know, people always say if you work, the universe will work for you or whatever. But I didn't predict 2016. It was just, I stayed down and put my head down and consistently kept working. And then it just so happened that whatever was happening in the world was something that someone needed, where school said, we need to figure out to be together. We're so divided. And all I'd been working on for the previous 4 years was this. So it, you know, I don't know how you explain that, but it's just.
Yeah, there's one of those sayings out there that I've used a couple of times myself is like, oh, wow, it's amazing how when you put in the work and you put in the reps, you know, just to speak from the fitness terminology that I use a lot, you put in those reps and eventually things start coming together. Or the one term that we hear a lot is things come to fruition. And that's what I'm getting from you, man, is that it was a long time coming. You didn't know when things were going to start coming to fruition. And it doesn't mean you've reached like the upper tier yet, but it's like, oh man, things start clicking. And it's like, wait a minute. Whoa, this is, you probably like last year was probably like, again, not to use my words, I'm like, you were fired up, dude. Like you had to be like, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one thing I've always learned is just be grateful for the now. I've learned, I'm a very happy person. I'm always, I like to be happy in the moment because you never know what happened. Ever since I had that near-death experience, it even made me face my mortality. I was like, life's too short. You don't know what's going to happen. So I always appreciate as many moments as I can. That time that you saw me speak was my first keynote, right?
Yeah.
I'd spoken before, but I'd never done a keynote. And I just kept consistently working and I would, you know, I like to respond to everyone and I would say thank you and all that. But for some reason, I built relationships out of that and it just grew. And it gave me a confidence to realize that I could actually speak at a bigger stage. And I was just so nervous before that talk because I had to memorize part in
the movie.
Well, remember the Titans, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go on stage."
Dude, you nailed that.
Yeah,
like, I had hairs like here's the best part. If you guys see, I don't know if you can see on the camera. There's the hairs are standing up on my arm right now.
Yeah,
because I can remember that, dude. Like I'm very moved by powerful speakers. And that was your first keynote. And that, I told you that day when we got done, we were talking later. I'm like, dude, you got it. Like, just keep going. Because that was even though we were a smaller audience, it was a podcasting niche. For our listeners, MapCon is Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference. Shout out to Joe Pardo. I think I'm recording with him, I don't know, later today or sometime this weekend or something. But anyway, I can't keep up. But Joe and I are finally connecting too. So it's funny how you and I are finally getting around to connecting. Joe and I still haven't recorded yet with each other.
Oh, wow. Hey, so, I'm glad I beat him to that.
Yeah, you did. So, but the beauty of this is that people need to understand that when you come into your own and you, your energy is flowing, is just flowing, man, like wide open. That's when you were up there. You were ready to rock that mic. And anybody who showed that level of commitment and the fact that you were able to memorize it like that, I was like, dude, I could not have done that. Or I should say that now, but maybe one day I could do that.
No, you could. No, but I know you live this life. You talk about fueling your life. You have to jump, right? Mm-hmm. In life. There's a lot of people that are, you know, it's like the monkey bars. They're holding one hand forward and one hand back instead of taking that leap where the two hands are free for that moment and just they just have to believe they'll get there.
Yeah.
And then why they don't do that is because they're afraid of falling down. But I've learned so much to figure out how to pick up any lesson from any failure I've had. Experience for me is the best teacher. And despite having, you know, the two getting fired twice or not being an American or 85 job rejections or being broke in the city. And I look at my or having a near-death experience. I'm like, if I've survived all that, who am I to complain? Yeah. You know, like, I'm like, I'm alive, right? That's the first thing that I always say. I'm alive and I'm grateful for another day. And this is a chance for me to live it to the fullest.
Yes.
And that, so you have two choices, half full, half empty. And I feel like if you're alive, you have no excuse not to be an optimist.
I love the fact that you threw that term in there of you know, you just have to live it to the fullest because that piece of that phrase comes from a term from Ernest Hemingway, which is live life to the fullest. And that terminology is from obviously Ernest Hemingway days, so way back. And that is one of the inspiring quotes that helped me build Live the Fuel, which stands for Live the Fired Up Epic Life. But I didn't want to fully play on his quote, but I had been using his quote for years when I had left the, you know, I'd grown up from farming, chased the corporate dreams, then realized, hated the corporate dreams, went back to school for a degree in marketing and psychology on nights and weekends as a hustling late 20s something. And because I'm the first person in my family to have a college education. But that, admittedly, I don't necessarily need or use all of that today, because as an entrepreneur, you realize that you got a lot to learn. College does not prepare you to be an entrepreneur. they teach you to be a really good employee, though. But that's a whole different podcast. But the piece of this was, and it's funny because after I did that degree, early 30s, and you and I talked about this out in Philly, I said, you know what? Before I get sucked back into a company, I'm going to take a risk and an adventure. And I took 2 years and served in the federal government doing wildland firefighting. So I was hiking in the mountains all over Western US and fighting wildfires. And it's funny that we're talking about this today, because today is like Thursday and people do those throwback Thursday posts.
Yeah.
And I saw one of my old firefighting crew brothers click like on Facebook. It came up as a notification to one of my other crew buddies' compilation videos of all the crazy firefighting stuff we did in 2011. And I hadn't seen that in a while. So I shared it. So if when we get done with this, you should go, if you want to see some of what I dealt with, dude, go look at that. There's spots in that video where there's walls of fire and we're like speed hiking out of the area, but you can't tell because the camera's moving all over the place because he's trying to hold his iPhone while we're like getting the hell out of there. But you see massive helicopters coming in and doing airdrops of fire retardant and water and everything else to try and slow the fire down while we're out there. And, you know, yeah, we were just a bunch of chainsaw wielding, you know, digging in the dirt firefighters. So, that's where the fired up piece came from and Live the Fuel. But the beauty of that is you were talking about how you struggled with jobs and rejection. So when I finished the firefighting and I realized I didn't want to do this the rest of my life, I'm going to chalk it up to the life adventures. So I moved to Colorado because I always wanted to live in Colorado. And I'm like, all right, man, I had a solid resume before firefighting, proof that I could work my way up in companies. I've got my degree, right? I made sure that I finished that degree because I'm supposed to, you know, before I did the firefighting. And now I've got some, you know, I got a pretty cool thing to talk about in an interview, like risking my life and all this other stuff. So, and I found a spreadsheet. That year living in Colorado, I applied to over 200 jobs and didn't get one.
Wow.
I was like, it got to the point where I just didn't care. I just started applying to jobs, man. I probably have 30 different versions of templated resumes on file on my hard drive somewhere. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I literally started teaching other people how to write resumes because I got so good at it. We have my buddies and stuff. So it's just, I've been there, man. I know, I mean, obviously not from the, you know, Nigerian perspective, obviously coming in from another country. But the point is, like, people need to understand that this is freaking life, dude. All right. We could let it beat us down. Or we just keep taking the hits and learning from them and moving forward.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you said it perfectly. If you don't live a life, if you live a life so cautiously that you don't fail, then you have not lived a life worth living. That sounds harsh, but it's the truth.
Some people could take that harsh, but the passion behind that is the most important piece of measure there. It's like, dude, we have to be embracing the risks and the challenges because that's the only way we're going to grow. And
it's the only way you can move forward. You can't stay inside a comfort zone because you're just going to be too comfortable. And if you're too comfortable, you know, life is going to.
Well, I joke around all the time. Like, you live in New York City. That in itself is an adventure. Like, there's people who are like, when I was out west, there's people who had never been to the East Coast here. So they were always like, oh man, is New Jersey really all paved asphalt roads and there's no, like, I'm like, no, it's the Garden State. There's plant life there. It's
definitely
okay.
Plant life.
I was like, technically that's New York City unless you're near Central Park. But and it just cracks me up because instead of, I guess, critiquing things that you don't know about, go and experience them. And that's something as simple as just go to New York. You either going to like it or you're not going to like it. Years ago, I really liked it and I always wanted to live there. when I was in the late 90s. But then, you know, I got older and lifestyles change, and now I only like to visit.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm trying to pull up a quote that I saw somewhere. Man, if I can find it.
Well, and to our listeners, while you're looking for that, if you want to see great quotes, I already post a lot of them to my feed on Live the Fuel on Instagram. But Teo is one of my fellow brothers of the quotes, because if you go and search for him on Instagram, Teo, again, TayoRockson, Teo Roxon, he does a lot of quote posting as well. And that's one of the reasons why I follow you, because I am a big fan.
Thank you, man.
We all need inspiration daily.
Well, you're big inspiration, and I always see your stuff. You're so active. I'm always like, how does he have the energy? And people always say I'm energetic. I'm like, you gotta see Scott. Scott has the energy. I don't know, of like a 5-year-old, because you could do so many things. But
hey, man, I turned 40 this year.
See, now you just don't make this is not even. All right.
You gotta level up, brother.
I'm trying. But the quote is, apply for that job, date that person, buy that plane ticket, move to that city, do all the things that scare you because they're worth it. And I saw that on someone else's Instagram. I forget who, but I screenshotted it.
That's good. That's good.
It's just a reminder for people that always say, oh, I'll do it later. And then you watch Shark Tank and you're always like, I had that idea 5 years ago.
Right? Oh, so, man. My girlfriend and I, we do love Shark Tank. Because she's just like, why didn't you think of that? And I said, well, clearly I didn't, or else I'd be on there right now. You know, but that's a very, very valid point. If people truly are passionate and fired up enough or creative enough to create something, don't give up on it. Even if you have to move it into a more of a part-time hustle, we talk about this. I'm like, guess what? Some of the most successful people out there, everything started as a part-time thing. Not everybody can just drop everything and invest 100% of their life into that one thing. You still got to put a roof over your head. You still have to put food in your belly. Or if you're a family, you have to put food in your family's bellies. That doesn't mean you completely give up on your goals and your aspirations. Like, at least put in like an hour a week or something working on that side project, because even if it then turns into a 10-year lifespan, you'll still achieve it in 10 years versus never.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's so key. And, you know, I'm glad that you have this platform to remind people about that. And I think people just need inspiration, and it's as simple as that. Sometimes people just need a reason and a purpose, and then that's enough for them to fight for. So
was that part of your big TEDx talk as well, or was it mostly heavily on diversity?
The first one was how to be an inclusive leader. I think it's so important for us right now. I spent the first 9 years of my life in a military dictatorship. Mm-hmm. That's a story I haven't even shared. Yeah, I saw exactly what it was like to have your civil liberties taken away from you, to have opportunities depend on where you're from and stuff like that.
Wow.
So growing up and all that, you know, and moving all around, I was sharing stories around that. And the second talk was the art of diplomacy. And that's basically around, you know, understanding the differences around you and finding the commonalities that exist within them. And so, I mean, it had a lot of leadership and inclusionary aspects of that, but sprinkled in between was the whole idea of action. You know, it's not being reactive, being proactive, you know, pursuing things, going and creating your personal board of directors, surrounding yourself with people that are purposely different from you, asking questions, being that learner, being, you know, not the smartest person in your room. So there were elements of just adopting and seeking mastery. I think a lot of people are dabblers, but I think, you know, seeking mastery into certain things so that you know who you are, and just continue to develop that.
Wow. Man, I wish I was there for that one.
The video will be out soon.
All right. I was going to say, is there a timeline on that? Or is that your own video, or is that their video?
No, it's their video, but that it depends on whenever they get the editing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have our own local chapter here in Allentown, because we're only like an hour from the city, by the way, maybe an hour and a half with traffic. I think they call it the Lehigh River TEDx or the River TEDx or something, because we have a big river that runs through here. But anyway, the I still have, every time they have an event, I'm usually out of town, and it's really frustrating.
I was gonna say, why don't you just go apply to speak?
Well, I know. I guess I could just apply. That's true.
That's what you
do. Right, let's see. There you go. I have not. I see. There you go. I'm guilty of it too. We all have our weaknesses. I have not applied to speak. So.
Oh my gosh, Scott, you're a prime candidate. You've had experiences upon experiences.
Okay.
The firefighting, everything.
Well, I've never been to a TEDx event, so I don't know what to, you know, expect of their, what they want. So I'm guessing it's basically about being unique and different, right?
I don't know. Yeah. And I think each TEDx has a theme. And even if they, you know, you just look, what I did, this is for anyone listening who wants to go to TEDx.
Yes. Teach us.
I don't know if my way is the best. So I basically went to, I had a goal that I wanted to speak at TEDx before I was 30 or TED at TEDx before I was 30. And I went to TEDx.com. I was like, okay, I'm going to look at all the TEDx events within my environment because they have a map of every TEDx that's happening in the world. And I just looked 3 months out, and the ones in New York City, I clicked on the website, found the organizers' names. Sometimes they have their email addresses there. So I either added them on LinkedIn or went to the website and found their email address. And I just sent each and every one of them an email saying, this is who I am. This is what I've done. And I would like to speak on this. Didn't get a response from everyone, but people that responded would say, okay, apply here, or great, submit here, send a video, or great, want to have you. Finally, when those people said that. So, but I just was intensely doing that every year for the last 2 years. Fine. And after about 16, 17, two said yes. So, but that's part of what you always do though. It's, right. You create, okay, you know you want to get something, you create an opportunity. We live in a digital world. Google is your friend, so fine. I know there's an opportunity. I'm going to pitch myself. They don't know who I am until I tell them who I am, so I'm going to make them know who I am.
Well, and admittedly, I'm not afraid of the stage. That's it. Rip on me, man. Do it. I need this, because the funny thing was, I've always been wondering, oh, what would be cool one day to maybe become, do some, you know, paid speaking, you know, public speaking, adding that into my repertoire. You know, it's great for brand building, but I didn't want to rush it. And it's funny because last year in June, July, I went to the Thrive Make Money Matter event in San Diego. And that's something you got to go to, man. Like, as a fellow hustling entrepreneur, and this year it's going to be in Vegas. So... Okay. But last year we had famous people like the famous author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield spoke at our event. Like, I was like, what? Like that right there got me to go there, because I read his books years ago when I was first getting into self-development and trying to find my path. Yeah. So dude, you got somebody like Jack Canfield speaking there. I'm like, I'm in. And this is last year was their only second year event ever doing it. So this year is only the third year doing it. But the organizer said, listen, man, he's like, I wanted to create an event that brought together world-class speakers, more speakers than any other event out there right now. That's part of his niche. He wants to have a ton of speakers and a ton of people presenting. And then, you know, people from all different walks of life can come here, usually on the entrepreneurial-minded thing, because that's how we're all hustling like that. But there was people from the real estate world, the network marketing world, other public speakers, just entrepreneurs in general. So it was a complete conundrum and just mix of all different personality types there. And we had, it was crazy, man. Like, there's one gentleman in the audience, he was running his own Pencils of Promise campaign. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And the first year event, he tried getting it off the ground and didn't raise enough to build his first school. He was trying to build a school with that. And so then last year's event, I'm very big on charity. And one of the biggest messages that we took out of Make Money Matter from the Thrive event was align yourself with something of a higher purpose, charity or donations, whatever, as a business. And they said, listen, every single time is if you stop chasing the money and you align yourself with something of purpose or an organization or other organizations and charity, and you build that into your marketing and your business structure, and that's how you start running your company, you will always grow. You will always succeed. There will be no limits, because now it's not just a matter of chasing the dollar. Well, anyway, at the end of the event, we lifted, I forget exactly his condition, but he's been in a wheelchair most of his life. And so he lifted him up on stage, and Cole Hatter basically said, all right, guys, we're going to help him build his school. So right now he's like, everybody hop onto your iPhones and everything else. And he's like, even if it's only a dollar, let's donate. And he said, I think he needed to raise like another 15 grand or something ridiculous yet. And he said, listen, he's like, if we don't get there, whatever is missing, I will cover it.
Wow.
So wow. I'm sitting there and I'm hitting refresh on my iPhone, like watching the math just ding, 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 through his page. And they said, okay, we'll be back in 10 minutes to let you know where we ended up. I already knew, dude, within 4 minutes, we had crushed his fundraising goal. And I'm like, I'm showing it to people around me. I'm like, dude, that's the power of real life crowdfunding live, like in an event. Like I was just so inspired by that. And it was just, it was powerful. So
yeah,
I wanted to share that with you because I could tell you'd appreciate something like that.
Oh my goodness. I love stuff like that.
He's building the school. I think he's going to be building it in Uganda.
Wow.
I can't remember where, but I think maybe Uganda, but he's going to call it the Thrive Academy off of that event because he was so inspired by that. But that's what I'm talking about, man. Like we have all these cool, like you said, Google earlier, but like these cool technologies, these websites, these platforms now that they can make things like having something with purpose, fine, use a platform, use a system like Pencils of Promise, for example. That's a great system. They've gone viral, man. Everybody's got pages with those guys now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, first of all, as humans, we have the blueprint of everything from past people, you know, past leaders, past greats, but we also have the platforms now to enhance things. You know, if you want a TV show, you have a YouTube, you're doing this on YouTube. If you want a radio show, a podcast, if you want to be a writer, you can start your own blog. We have the platforms and we just need to tap into that community, which is what I was speaking on at MapCon, and really just believe in ourselves more than we do. I think sometimes we wait on confirmation for people. We have an imaginary sense of when our timing should be. And sometimes we use that to cripple us and say, I'm not ready. But I've started doing things that scare me the most. Like having that keynote was scary for me, but it's not the timeline anyone else had for me, right? People were like, you need to build your brand a little bit more. But I was like, no, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And I remember when I got the call and he said to me, and I had something that week and I was like, I'll do it. He just said it to me and I was like, fine, yes, whatever. I'll do it. I'll do the keynote. Speak for that long. I've never done it. And I had to come up with something within like a 4 week span. I was like, this is enough of a challenge for me. And I know I should do it. And I know I'm meant for this. So I'll use this opportunity to really put my passion in and just go. But that's just what life is. You just got to grab it by the horns and just go.
That's literally how I got this show started too. Like when I created Live the Fuel, it was just a channel for motivation and inspiration. I would throw out an occasional YouTube video. I was really doing heavy posting on the Facebook page and the Instagram page just with quotes, right? Because you and I are both quotes guys. That was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then all of a sudden, like I needed to amplify. I've always been a self-development guy and I started traveling more for one of my clients. So I said, all right, well, I'm in the car a lot. So let's turn the car into a mobile university. So I set up my Audible account and I obviously start crushing podcasting. So 3 years now, I only listen to the FM radio when my girlfriend's in the car. Like she's like, no, I want to listen to music. I'm not listening to one of your podcasts or whatever. So I was like, all right, fine. So she helps create some life balance. But man, when I'm on the road, like I'll be heading to New Jersey this afternoon for a training event tonight for one of my clients. So I was like, well, dude, that whole drive, I'll be listening to probably somebody's podcast or one of my many Audible books.
Yeah.
So
you consume.
That's the point. And then eventually you reach a point like you were hinting at where you need to start generating your own content. And finally, I got to that point where I was like, dude, I've been consuming podcasting for so long. I pretty much know what I got to do. Why don't I just get my own voice out there and attract my own following and my own people who align themselves with like I do on the value of health and fitness and lifestyle, living life to the fullest, for example. And that's why like MapCon was my first ever podcast event that I ever went to when I met you. And I had just launched the show. Like I had 3 shows in the tank and launched with that. So it was a lot happened in September.
Nah, so. And then look at you now. I mean, I don't know if you get this experience. Sometimes it might look like you're more successful than you feel like you are. But maybe it's because of stuff you post on Facebook and people are always like, dude, you're killing it, Scott. You're destroying, you're killing it. And for me, when I've gotten that experience, because many times I'm very self-deprecating. I'm like, I'm not even anywhere near where I want to be. But it always makes me wonder whether they're speaking out of their own wish fulfillment, because sometimes they have a $200,000 job, $350,000 job. And I'm like, why are you asking? Yeah. In my mind, I don't say it to them, but they're like, how do you do this? I really want to do this. I hate my job, but I can't leave. I can't do that. And they always ask me for these type of things. And I'm wondering to myself, how many people in the world actually feel that way, where they're not experiencing fulfillment, but to the outside world, they are successful. So I always tell people not to compare themselves, because everybody's journey is different.
You're bringing up a valuable point, man, because a lot of that type of thought process does exist.
Yeah.
And we've all been there ourselves, maybe a little bit, right? Like sometimes it takes a little, I'm going to use the word jealousy. Sometimes it takes maybe a little jealousy, or just, I'll flip that and say, maybe I'll call it confusion, right? Because someone's like, man, how are they doing that? So maybe it's not necessarily jealousy, but it's like intrigue. And it's like, why can they do it? And why haven't I done it? Or why am I not doing it? And then it becomes a guilt trip and everything else. Like, no, this is what we're trying to tell our listeners right now. You and I are both on the same page here. It's like, guys, like, just start putting in the reps, man. Like, just start taking action on something. Even if it's not going to be successful down the road, at least you took action today, and you start getting over those little hurdles and those little speed bumps, and you build some momentum. And let's say that initial idea didn't work, but at least you learned something from that.
Yeah.
And deep down, you learn that you can actually make yourself do things that you're not comfortable doing. And that builds confidence. That builds success, because that's a trait that can't really be taught. You and I can't necessarily teach that. We could talk about it. But the individual has to start manifesting that themselves. And they have to start putting in that experience and learning from that internally, from taking those steps.
Absolutely. You got to push yourself out. And even the biggest performers still have butterflies in their stomach before they get on stage, but the difference with us is that they channel that nervous energy into the greatest performances of their life.
Because let's be real, you're on TEDx, you know darn well you were nervous.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was nervous. I have a very confident appearance, and I like to talk to a lot of people.
Yes, you're very composed.
But people always have a hard time believing. I get so nervous before stage anything I'm doing. I'm so nervous. But then once I hit the stage, it all goes away. But oh my gosh, I was nervous.
Well, and there's little tricks to the trade to that. So for example, kind of rewind us back to I was asking you about tips on the speaking thing. So last year, one of my goals was to, I hadn't updated my suit in years. Like I had one, because I moved my life to a minimalist life when I did the firefighting. So I kept one suit and left it back here in Pennsylvania with my family when I moved west. So that suit I bought back when I was in the corporate world, and that was like early 2000s. So it was the wrong cut, the wrong design. You know, my body, my lifestyle was different.
You're jacked now, man.
So thank you. I do all right. But the point is, it's like, I was like, all right, I want to get a nice modern cut suit, because when I go back to Thrive this year, you know, I want to look the part, man. Like you got to put that armor on and be proud of it, right? So, and it's funny because I also thought about it. I'm like, well, also I plan on doing more speaking. So you want to be able to give a strong presence. And sometimes I've learned that from a lot of speakers. They say, man, when they put the physical look on too, you put that suit on, you're stepping into that zone. So when you get on the stage, you feel even more confident when you know, like you said, you're very composed. So that's something you learned. It's like, all right, man, you put on that look, you look the part, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to actually do the part, take action on it.
Yeah. There are definitely tips and tips. You got to look confident, got to command a room. And you've got, if you say something with enough conviction, people will believe it. Yeah. And you have to believe it too. So it's not like you're doing like, hey, this drug is going to cure your dreams. No, it's more like you convince yourself that you are capable of influencing people because you've lived that life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dress the parts. You know, that's the beginning of influence there.
So, and the other piece of that is that I'm sure correct me if I'm wrong on this, but also you'll realize through time is that not everybody has to agree with you, and you don't have to agree with everybody else. In the end, you're presenting, you're speaking, you're the one who has the power on the stage. And then if you gained 5% of the audience who totally align with you, at least you influenced 5% of the people and not nothing. and you don't have to get 100% of the audience. So that's just something that I've learned over the years too. Is like we just, and that's from just from years being in sales and marketing. It's like, yeah, you want to have a higher attention rate, but in the beginning, it's just a matter of getting through to a few people and taking the good out of that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think someone said you need 1,000 true fans or something like that. There's a saying, but it's not the numbers. It's who you can, you know, who you develop that relationship
with. Oh yeah. Well, it's like you and I don't have a 500,000 followers on Instagram, for example. Everybody's like, oh yeah, you and I probably go get the same messages. People like, oh, you know, you need to, I'll hire you, hire me and I'll get you, you know, thousands of followers. I'm like, I don't need to, dude.
I got that yesterday. Someone sent me something.
And you're like, I don't care because I'd rather have, you have like 7,000 followers or something just on Instagram. I was looking at it earlier and I'm like, dude, that's more than me. That's help from your speaking events, obviously, too. As you grow your brand, you will organically grow your followers. I'd rather have 2,000 strong followers who actually read my content that I'm actually helping provide influence to than having a 500,000 followers that just like me because they wanted to like me. I don't know. Like, eventually, maybe we both will end up that way too. But the point is, like you said, have a good 1,000, you know, good solid 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't even, some of my listeners, I don't have 1,000. It's if you have 100, whatever, 10, if you've developed enough of a relationship with them, they will do your marketing for you because they believe they you've added so much value to them. They're like, check Scott out.
Yeah.
Check Scott's workout. They're the evangelist at that point.
I literally have one of those locally here. Yeah. Shout out to Brian Strausser. He's one of our regular listeners, but he and I met. For your benefit, I met doing some volunteer work on a mountain bike trail. We were cleaning up some storm damaged trees last year, and then we just started talking. And he was an ex personal trainer. His lifestyle had, you know, not really stayed into that world of fitness, and maybe he would maybe word it as he went downhill a little bit, and he was trying to rebuild his life. So I was like, listen, man, just let's talk, let's hang. You know, we'll ride when we can, we'll cut trails when we can, and if you want, listen to the new podcast. Let me know your thoughts. And now he's one of my most, you know, excited followers, which is awesome. I actually had him on the show now.
That's great.
Because he's going through his own revitalization and transformation. So I was like, listen, when you're ready, man, and you want to share your story, come on the show. Like, I'm not just launching this show because I want to have famous, well-known people on it. Like, this is my show. I can have whoever the hell I want on here. And I'd rather bring on somebody who doesn't have thousands of followers and is going to speak from the heart and talk about the struggles that he's had, and which he's had a lot. And, you know, from periods of depression to, you know, the struggle of trying to build a family and finally have a child of his own, like all this stuff, man, it's been powerful. And now this year I helped him from a health perspective. We've been working, he's on one of my health teams. So he's down like 30 pounds. He's back into mountain biking. He's literally training for some races right now. He hasn't done these races since years ago. And he was very heavily in the mountain biking world. So he's so pumped up right now. And it's funny because the other day I saw a post and he texted me and he was saying, hey, you know, he was a little, he seemed lower than he normally was. Mm-hmm. So from the last couple of events I was at, I had, let me grab this for you. I was at an event and there was a table of Zig Ziglar people there, right?
Oh, Zig Ziglar, yeah.
Right? Big quotes guy. So they gave me this, I picked up a couple of these little books called their Little Book of Quotes. So I had this. And then from the last event that I was at last week, there was like a deck of cards. I bought a couple decks of cards, and these cards are basically inspirational comments, quotes, et cetera. Like I forget who actually created them. But anyway, so I grabbed one of those decks and I grabbed this book and I just had something shipped and I had like a bubble envelope. So I just jammed them in there. I grabbed the Sharpie and I wrote on there, keep going, Strauss, because his name is Strausser. And then I was on my way to New Jersey to an event. And I was like, well, I'm leaving. Actually, I was going to upstate New York. I was going to Albany the other day.
Oh, Albany.
Earlier this week. So I was like, I had a long road trip. So I was like, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to do a quick 10-minute detour off the highway, drive by his house. And if he's not there, cool. And I left the envelope between his two garage doors of his house. And then I took a pic and I said, hey, there's something waiting for you when you get home. And that's all I did. I didn't want anything else out of that. Next thing you know, he took a photo of it. He posted everything on Facebook. He's like, you know, just he had a very inspirational comment tied to it. And he said, you have no idea how much that meant, like just having that random thought. And immediately, I didn't really think about it. I just followed my heart. I was like, this guy sounds like he's hurting this week. I was like, I got these tools and I know he's going to love them because he and I've been building that relationship over this past year through the podcast and everything. So I was like, hey, if I can give him a couple of these little, you know, $5 thingies, then great.
Oh, sure.
So it was just really cool. I was glad that it clicked for him, but
no. And that's all it takes sometimes. I love that you did that. It's just, sometimes it's just cheering our fellow neighbors on and just acknowledging. I have this rule that I like to live by, put a smile on 5 people's faces a day.
Mm.
And just because, preferably strangers, because the amount of work that you have to do to get someone you don't know their smile it's great, but it also allows you to get to know that person's more. You have to figure out what that person likes.
Well, and admittedly, he's become a big nut for this stuff. And that's funny you're saying this, dude, because now you're saying that, that's exactly what I thought. I just didn't really put it into words. I was like, what would make that guy smile right now? And I know he loves it when I do these little things as a friend. So I'm like, perfect. And we've become friends. I was like, I never expected that. We don't expect anything of each other. It's just when he was ready to ask for help, I was there. That was it. Yeah. And then when I need help, he literally helps build a custom headboard for the bed that my girlfriend and I have, because we had old repurposed wood sitting in the garage and I'm not a woodworker and he is. And I was like, dude, could you help me build something amazing for a gift? And he said, oh yeah. And he banged that out in like 2 days, and you know, I paid him for it. But I was like, bro, that's awesome, man. Like, thank you. And so we've already had that give and take relationship developed, and I never thought I would ever need him to build anything for me, but he did. So
it's amazing. That's how you build a network.
Yeah. But that's, so the 5 smiles, for example, how do you accomplish that?
Like, I mean, so.
Because that's actually a big quota, right? Technically.
Yeah, it is. Well, you start, you can stay with a compliment.
Okay.
Sometimes if you're in the subway, I'm in the subway a lot. You have to get observant. This is also because I observe my environment. If you're reading a book, like, hey, I noticed you read something about that book. I like the author. Is this like this book? You get in a conversation. You say, I'm a corny guy. I say a lot of corny jokes. Mm-hmm. You say something like that, or you know, opening the door. It's just so many. It happens from gestures to compliments to you figuring things out. Oh, hey, you dropped something. Do that. Hey, your kid is the cutest kid. Just so many random things, and you find that you engage in with your society around you. And I always think I'm a sociologist and an anthropologist deeply inside, because a lot of what I do is studying people, and I go to companies to help them figure out the work across culture. So it's good for me. But I find, much like when people reach out to me and saying, you're killing it, I wish I was doing the same thing. And I always tell them, you can do it too. It's the same thing with people. People just, we lose sense of our environment every day, and we don't realize that the simple things are still very possible despite how busy we are. Just taking the time out of your day to say, your hair looks so nice today, and I just wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
Bam. And you know, so that's what it is. It's a reminder for me, but for me it's more to remind people that they have value, because you know.
Well, I love your point here, because everything you just shared is simple. This is easy.
Yeah.
Like I kind of take it for granted because I grew up this way. But to this day, if I'm walking into a Starbucks and I see somebody on their way in, I don't try and race to beat them to the door so I can get in first. I race to the door so I can open it for them, especially if they're female. But to be fair, I did it yesterday to a guy. He's walking up on his cell phone. I grabbed the door. He's in a suit. You know, I just got back from a workout. I opened the door and I held it for him. And he literally paused for a second. I don't think he was expecting it. And he's just like, and I was like, after you, sir. And I called him a sir, and we're probably the same age. But then we walked around to go get in line to order a coffee. And then he's like, after you. And I was like, thank you. And that's all it was. You know, we smiled. A please and thank you thing.
That's a smile. Yeah. There you go. That's all it counts. Yeah.
And all it did was open a door. Yeah. It's not rocket science.
That's all I'm trying to say. And the simplest things are sometimes are not the easiest things to do, which is the most ironic thing. It's just people though, they've made it so complicated. Like, oh, how can I make someone smile? Just do the simple things.
Well, and on that, on those simple things, and this is just for listeners in general, if you truly want to become, and I am not a love doctor, but I truly believe in that door thing, okay? I open the door for my girlfriend to get her into my car all the time. If we're walking into a restaurant, I will double step faster to get to that door to open the door for her. This is one of the simplest things that you could do for somebody. And I know some people say, a lot of people say, oh, chivalry is dead. It's only dead if you allow it to be dead.
Yeah.
We can hold that in our hearts and live that to its fullest. And don't do it because you're trying to like be strategically like land that girl. I mean, admittedly, it does work in the dating world. It does. But she and I have been together for 3 years now. So it's funny because my buddy's wife, she got pissed off because she's like, "You don't open the door for me anymore." And he's like, "Scott, what are you doing, man?" I'm like, "I'm not going to change who I am. It's the way I grew up, dude. Like, yeah. I hold doors for people. It's a very simple thing. And to your point, can lead to a smile on a face. Okay. It's not rocket science, guys. Yeah. Like, let's get back to the basics. Treat human beings like human beings."
Exactly.
So.
No, but yeah.
No. So what's up next, man? Where are you going next? We've been on here for a while, so I want to know what do I get to look forward to in the upcoming posts?
I mean, really, it's, you know, you've been in the consulting world, so I'm now heavily committed in that. So hopefully landing more clients and more speaking engagements, really. I live my life with like three buckets: creating content that's around that, speaking about that, and then working with companies to help them do everything that I speak on. So hoping to be more of a thought leader in that space. You know, when it's all said and done, a marriage between Oprah Winfrey and Nelson Mandela would be a key thing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought about that. That'd be those powerful.
Those are my two my pseudo parents outside of my parents, because I love the social justice.
He's truly inspiring and has a lot of respect behind him as far as my observations. And she obviously definitely has the power of reach and marketing exposure. So
For me, it's getting the message out there to the right people. I want to make the unseen seen, be a voice for the voiceless, educate the world about seeing different perspectives. It's not about agreeing, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's more about understanding, like, okay, we can disagree, but I can see another way. Or wow.
Well, that's powerful. Back to that whole Thrive message of making money matter, because people do have to understand that it does take money to make money, but also it takes money or just realistic financial goals to allow you to grow your platform and grow the assistance. And what you're trying to do is going to require a larger platform. Yeah. So you have to keep hustling and keep growing. And yeah, I got to grow a business because I got to fund that too. No one's going to just give it to me. I mean, some people do, but it'd be nice if more people would actually do
it. Yeah, but nice. But no, it's that. So it's recognizing that. And, you know, for me, it's like I said, I haven't even scratched the surface of what I want to do, but that's part of it, right? You know, got to just keep working.
How cool. I don't know. How cool would it be if like you and I were on stage rocking the mics one day?
That would be the coolest thing. What?
I don't know. That'd be crazy.
Continue that statement. You should have stopped it. Of course it'd be cool.
That would be awesome. Like, it's like you have such a unique background, man. And from where you
so
come
do you.
From. Well,
you're talking about a farm. You said you grew up in a farm. You've had all these. Come on now.
Yeah, we've done.
I didn't grow up in a farm.
Well, no, that's the cool thing. That's because we have such a difference of upbringings and life experiences that, and it's, I think that's also true too, because you could show all the different diversifications and how things coming from different walks of life could end up doing some of the same things in life. It's like, it doesn't matter where you come from.
No, my mission statement and the reason I do everything is use your difference to make a difference. Right. So that's all I say all the time. So and my whole thing is promoting individuality within us. Cause a lot of people think they're not different or they don't have anything to offer. I'm like, nah.
Or they're afraid to embrace their differences, because I was one of those people. I was not embracing my childhood as I grew up. I was like, oh, I was the farm kid because I wasn't the popular kid in school, right? So as I grew older, I kind of pushed away from that and I wanted to live a different life and show I can do things differently. That's why I was chasing the corporate world, to do stuff differently. And now years later, through maturity and opening and embracing who I am and where I come from, it's like, no, dude, that's what makes you unique. Like, embrace the fact that you worked hard and your dad taught you how to work hard and you got to experience what it was like to, you know, raise animals and stuff like that. Like, that's something unique, man. Like, not everybody has that. People go on trips. Yeah. They take buses from New York City out here to central Pennsylvania, like 2 hours west of me here, to go look at Amish farms and Mennonite farms. And I'm like, I grew up with that. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's it. I mean, I took a lot of it for granted until I started telling my story. And, you know, you people and everybody else would say, oh, you diplomatic kid, that's so. And I was like, you know, maybe not a lot of people grew up that way. I can share the experiences I learned from there. And the same thing with you, whether it's being a farmer, a firefighter, all these things, there's something you learn from those experiences that you can take that someone else can't.
And that's why I think as you and I are maturing and growing, it's almost become almost a social responsibility that what are we doing with our voice? Are we pushing positive, inspiring ideas and creativity and those lessons learned? Because not everybody's going to be able to go do the things that we've done, but we can at least share what we've learned from that and hopefully inspire others to learn and take something good out of those experiences as well.
That's it.
Yeah. This is awesome, man. Yeah. Well, this has been a powerful episode. We're going to have you back on again too, because like this is, if you're open to it, you're always going to be welcomed as a returning co-host. So, I love your mission and where you come from. And it's taken me almost a year to get you back on the show.
So, well, I apologize about that, but you're very welcome and you make it easy to talk. So
that's the goal of the show. It should be an easy conversational format. So
very, very good.
And it's just two guys hanging out. And helping the audience learn from what we're learning about each other as well. So, so clearly, man, you really helped, I think, a lot of our listeners understand, like, we don't have to literally say the words health, business, and lifestyle here, because that's literally everything we've been talking about. You've shared some of your own struggles of health and lifestyle alignment and what it's like when you've had to go through things like your car accident and everything else, and the importance of, as you grow your business, that there is purpose behind that. And there's a message behind that, and that you're still struggling to succeed. And I think we all are, right? It's like we just struggle differently as we mature and we gain more knowledge along the way.
Absolutely.
So something I do for our audience is I want my co-hosts to have the final word of the show, because we talk a lot of content. I'm going to have, show notes and everything else on the website, but sometimes people will forget half of the content that happened today. So I want to make sure that, because psychologically, a lot of times in a conversation, a listener will hear the first thing they said and the last thing they said. So what is a message that you're trying to put out there that if they forget everything else you talked about on today's show, hey man, this is Teo. This is what's going on.
So this is my current Facebook post. There are 20 life teaching lessons. I'm only going to share two or three.
Nice.
But so take risks in your life. If you win, you can lead. If you lose, you can guide. People are not what they say, but what they do. So judge them not for their words, but from their actions. And then the last thing is take whatever you can from life, because when life starts taking from you, it takes even your last breath. So,
Wow.
So that is all. I say all that to say, you have the power to start. Don't let any outside force tell you that you can't start or you can't do anything, because you are in control of that. And, even if you fail, you still learn something. And that's better than not starting in the first place.
That's powerful, man. All right. Well, to our listeners, and hang on a line, Teo. I'm going to give you a proper goodbye off the air. But to our listeners, man, that's Teo Roxon. Okay. Go to teoroxon.com. Again, to your other site, which I, for some reason, could not bring up properly. Again, that was UID Management, correct?
Yeah, UIDmanagement.com. But if you go to teoroxon.com, you always.
It's all interlinked. So. Again, guys, this is what we're all about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Teo is embodying all of that. He is creating some major change out there. Please follow him online. Hit him up on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, everything. It's all linked to his website at teoroxon.com. And again, this is what we're all about, guys. We're here to live the fired up epic life together. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Good day, Live the Fuel fans. Hey, this is Scott Mulvaney, your host and founder of Live the Fuel. I just wanted to take a couple minutes here at the end of the episode to thank you for listening and also share some resources for you. So number one, please, thank you. Thank you for listening and thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the show so you can get regular your updates. I release new episodes every single week. More importantly, if you are using iTunes or you have an iTunes account, please go on to iTunes. I know it takes a few minutes to actually do this, but please submit a show review for the Live the Fuel show. It's one of the few ways we can use the system to help increase the exposure of the show. So again, if you take a moment to do that, please and thank you. All right, guys, more importantly, I want to get into some resources to help support you guys. If you go to livethefuel.com, I do have a resources guide online. It's called the Super Sevens Resources Guide. And in there, I have 21 different tips and tools just from that I've used over the past 3 to 4 years to help me get my different businesses up online, but also just health mindset-related content. But anyway, if you go on there and subscribe to my email list, you'll get that guide back to you for free. So enjoy some free content. Now, more importantly, if you're on Facebook, be sure to reach out to us and, number one, like the Live the Fuel page, but number two, join our Facebook group community called The Fuel Tank. Please submit a request and I'll be happy to welcome you into our community and help you along your journey as well. And then the last piece of this little message for you guys is our resources page. If you go to livethefuel.com/resources or just click on resources in the toolbar, I put in a number of companies on here that I've started growing relationships with that I trust and that I actually recommend. So first off is Villa Capelli. This is one of the purest olive oils that I've ever tasted. I've talked about it on the show before. So please use my discount code. If you use Fuel, F-U-E-L, at the checkout when you're on their website, you get 10% off your order. So please use that and thank you. More importantly, also in the health category in that page, you'll find a company called Pure Vitamin Club. We've actually had the founders on the show multiple times. I highly recommend this company. Please use my click-through link on the website. I don't have a lot of affiliations, but this is one that actually may give me a couple pennies back for every time people actually click through my logo for their Pure Vitamin Club on my website. So again, I highly recommend them for Pure Magnesium, Pure Vitamins, and their new B12 vitamin coming out. And the last piece of this message here is Isagenics, guys. Not everybody is into nutritional companies, supplementation, but many, many people are because our food is nutrient deficient. And we've talked about this from a health perspective before. So again, if you guys are looking for a change in your lifestyle, heck, even just for a side hustle business, but more importantly, just healthy lifestyle changes, please consider reaching out to me. I have Isagenics linked on there, but please feel free to private message me or set up a time on my scheduler on the website. And I'll be happy to talk to you more about this and consider working with me and my team. I'd love helping people get healthier. All right, guys, last piece of this message here is business related. If you look in the business category on there, because we do talk about health, business, and lifestyle, I do have a couple other companies in here. AWeber. AWeber is the best when it comes to email marketing. So please use my link there. I use it for all of my clients and all of my email marketing. There's a lot of different sources out there, but these guys are awesome. And more importantly, all of my IT, all of my website hosting, everything now goes through a company called Singularis IT. I mountain bike and road bike with the owner, Simone. He's been on the show as well. Good people, great technology. Highly recommend them for outsourcing your IT solutions. They're freaking phenomenal. So anyway, guys, I just want to again thank you for listening. Please use these tips, tricks. Please visit livethefuel.com. Check out the resources page. Get that e-guide for free by hopping on the email list. And go to The Fuel Tank on Facebook and join our community. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.